Well, good morning again, and look at the person next to you and say, hey, it looks like from last Easter to this Easter, you've lost some weight. You're looking good. Look great. Man, y'all look great this morning, and so good to have you, and we're excited for what God has been doing. And here in this third service, man, I just tell you, it's been a great day here and all the services so far, and so we're just honored again that you're here and been excited for today. Just before I get into the message, I want to draw your attention, if everybody would, inside your worship guide is a connection card. Would you just pull that out for a minute for me? And we do this once a year, and this is something that really helps our church, and the reason why we do it during Easter is because it's usually when everybody's in church. So we want to really take advantage of that. But I want to draw your attention on the back side of this connection card. And whether you're here for the first time or you're a regular attender, man, I'd love your feedback on this. And so we just have a few questions. We'd, again, love just your help on. I'll just go through just a couple of these questions. And the one is, where would you like to see an Elevate City campus? So outside of this location, we're dreaming, we're praying, we're researching some other areas within Fort Wayne of launching another campus of Elevate City. So, and if there's an area that we don't have that's there, you're welcome to write it into, but those are some of the areas that we're zeroing on, so I'd love your feedback. And which of these service times best fits your schedule? So even if you have a particular time that you're already coming here, I want to encourage you, just help us with another time that says, man, this time works great. I think this could work. And so that would just, again, help myself, our staff, our team, as we just are trying to grow and continue to get better. And so we'll come back to this connection card really at the end of service. So just at some point, if you would, just help us with that. And then when the offering buckets just come by at the end of service, you can just drop those in there. But I want to get in the message, so if you haven't already saw right there in your worship guide is also some message notes, so you can grab those and follow along that way, or you can follow on the screens behind me here today. And I'm going to want to share a message with you that's been on my heart for weeks, and something that I've just really been praying about and thanking a lot about. But over the course of the last month or so, I've been in a lot of different funerals. I've officiated and then attended. And there's a predominant thought that's been hitting my heart a lot and challenging me as I continue to go forward. And that is not how will I die, but how will I live? And the life that I have on this earth, what am I going to do with that life that's given to me and that's given to us? And David said this in the book of Psalm chapter 90. He said, teach us to number our days, and to recognize how few they are, help us to spend them as we should. You know, one of the things, two things I've been thinking about. One, and you can jot this down, that life is valuable. Life is valuable. We just don't know how much time that we have. That's why I think David did such a great job of saying, hey, our days are numbered. I heard even just of this week a horrific tragedy of a 26-year-old healthy young man in the NBA G League. He was on the Detroit Pistons team, 26 years old, fourth quarter, collapsed and went into cardiac arrest and died. I mean, healthy as an ox, they said, but just gone. And man, if that doesn't show the brevity of life, it doesn't matter. And so, and here's what I'm saying, that this is a valuable life that we have been giving. And it was quoted that, and I'm not sure who said it, I just think it's good, that life is a dash between two numbers on a tombstone. Everybody should enjoy that dash. And a dash, again, on a tombstone, if you've seen it, separating the beginning and the ending. And if you think about it, that 1 or 2 inch mark literally stands for a whole life. And then here's the other thing about life that I know is it's fleeting. As I've said, it's quick, it's here, it's gone. Psalm 39 says, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered and that my life is fleeing away. My life is no longer than the width of my hand. An entire lifetime is just a moment to you. Human existence is but a breath. Bethany and I, our family, we're going on 7 years that we've lived in this city, and we love it here so much in Fort Wayne. And we just celebrated 6 years as a church a few weeks ago, and I just can't get over the fact of how quickly time is moving. And how many know we ain't getting any younger? And so time is of the essence. And you and I have been given a very precious gift called time. And how many know at the end of service today, you can't go to Kroger, you can't go to Walmart or Best Buy and pick up some more time before you go home today? You're just not going to be able to do it. You can't save it, can't buy it. 18 times a minute you and I breathe, that's 25,920 times a day, free of charge to you and me. And if you were to purchase your oxygen, it would cost you almost $1 million for a lifetime. When you think about it, it's just crazy. And so, but when you also think about it, I think what's interesting is you and I really don't have a lot of control over what happens in our life, the many things that take place. So you and I couldn't control the time in which we were born and our parents and whom we were born to. We couldn't control the period or the culture and the time in which we were born in. We certainly can't control when we will die. Only God really knows that, and our life truly is in His hands. But here's one thing that we do have control over, and here's the good news, is that you and I get to decide how we are going to use that dash mark, how we're going to live it out, how are we going to spend that time. I love this quote, that the greatest enemy is not death, but a life that is unlived. William Wallace said this, every man dies, but not every man lives. And here's what I know about what Easter's all about, that God wants us to live again. God wants us to experience that resurrection life that He experienced for us. He wants us to have that same encounter. And I was telling our church a few months ago, one of the saddest funerals I've ever done in my time in ministry. And I was a young preacher. And I was a young pastor, and I was invited, and they were very desperate to find somebody, so I don't know whether that was good or not for me, but nonetheless, I said, I'll help. And I figured out real quick why, as I was brought in to meet with the funeral director and the family, I come to find out that this man really had no relationships and hadn't spoken to his family, they said, in nearly 25 to 30 years, just really stuck to what he did and just kind of went, you know, woke up, went to work, back home again, didn't want anything to do with people, and just lived life as really kind of a hermit, so to speak. And it was really sad to me because it was the smallest attended funeral I'd ever been a part of. And there was maybe five or so, maybe a little bit more people, maybe 10. I mean, it wasn't much. And I'll never forget after that funeral that day and before I actually proceeded into the message that day, I was up around the casket, and even one of the family members, I hadn't talked to him in 25, 30 years, and just went up there and cussed him out. And I thought, my God, I'm glad to be here today. You know what I mean? So, but I just thought, man, you know, they weren't sure where he was at with God. But I just thought, you know, regardless, man, this is a man. This is someone that lived. And so we're going to make sure we honor him. And even in the midst of we don't know much. And I remember giving an opportunity for the family to come up. Nobody came up. It was very sad to me. And I left that day just with my heart aching for that man. And I just thought to myself, I said, God, I don't want my life to just go on by and it not mean anything and not have impacted anybody. I just believe there's something inside each and every one of us, something within us that says, man, I want my life to count for something. I want to know that my life has made a difference. Is there anybody that would say, man, that's me? I just want to know that I've done something to make an impact. It may be with your family. It may be on the job. It may be your career. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, I hope that there's something within us that says, man, I want my life to count for more. And so my hope is this morning that you just receive this message on this Easter for what God, I believe, intended for today to be about, and that is an experience, an encounter with Him. Matthew chapter 26, it says this, and this is before Jesus was taken in and questioned, and really before the whole process of Him going to the cross began. He was at a moment of an unbelievable anguish and decision that He had to make. And the Bible says He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and He became anguished and distressed. Now, I want you to watch Jesus here. He's talking to them, and He says, my soul, He's communicating, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Notice that Jesus' response and just his honesty, which I totally dig. And He said, stay here and watch with me. So He went on a little farther. He bowed with His face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. And then He returned to the disciples and found them asleep. And He said, Peter, couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, My Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done. And I want you to know something that was very powerful about this scripture to me is that in this scripture, we see an unbelievable picture of the vulnerability, the transparency of our Savior and the authenticity of who he was. That there was a moment in time that he looked to his Father and said, God, is there any other way out of this? Because you've got to think about what he's going through in his mind. He is getting ready to give up his life and go through so much terror and just horrific brutality. And he's saying, God, is there another way? Have you ever been, maybe you have, in a situation that you've asked yourself, man, God, is there another way out of this? Can I get through this? Can I go around this? Can I get away from this somehow? And here Jesus was in that same moment. And here's the thing that I understand, as we're going to learn here in a few moments even more, that he really, really gets it. But more importantly, he gets us. That when he created us, there was expectation that he created us with, but he created us with an understanding, with the true love of a father. And I just feel like I need to encourage somebody today. I don't know where you're at in this journey, and because sometimes when we hear that word father, it can mess with us. And it can mess with us because sometimes our earthly fathers may not have been there for us or may have treated us not well. But I just want you to know this morning, you have a heavenly Father that loves you, that is there for you, that promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And I'm just telling you, man, what his word says is true and alive and well today. Amen, everybody. And I want to encourage you with that. Yeah. And so he gets it and he gets us. And so there's a few things I think that can hold us back. And as I was praying about this message, here's a few things that just kind of came up. And these are things that I've struggled with too. And the first one is this, and you can jot it down. And that's my yesterdays. That I think our yesterdays have the ability to try and trip us up. And the enemy, the devil, is really good at trying to remind us of our struggles and our past and our issues. I think all of us have things in our life and things that we've been through in our past that we're not real proud of. But here's what I know about God, that God is not looking at your past. He's looking at your today, and he's looking at your future. God, listen, it doesn't matter what happened last night. What I want to encourage you is God is focused right here, right now, in this moment with you. And I'm thankful for a God who's not constantly looking back, but a God who's constantly looking forward. Because that's the heart of a father that picks them up. You know, I know when my kids fall down, especially my little ones. Braxton is 2 and Judah is 3. Man, when they fall down, you know what daddy does? Man, I just come by and I just dust them off, and let's go. We're all good. Just dust off, guys. We're good. And because if you don't do it quick enough, then they start, you know, they really panic, you know. And so I picked them up and I do that. And I'm just telling you, man, that's the heart of God. That even when we do trip up, because we are, and that his forgiveness is available past, present, and future. Like, he knows you and I are already going to mess up. But the key is, what do we do when we mess up? Who do we run to, or what's our response? I think that's why it's so important. I love this verse in Hebrews 4. And I'll say this too. For some of us, even our yesterdays may have been past relationships or marriages, family, that have gone a certain way that maybe you didn't want it to go. And I'm just telling you today, God is here. He is close. He loves you with an everlasting love. And his grace really is available to help us. And it says this, though, chapter 4. So then, since we have a great high priest, who's Jesus, who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours, check it out. Will you read this with me? Understands our weaknesses. Come on, can you say it again? Understands. For he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Then we will receive his mercy and find his grace to help us when we need it most. First of all, he gets you. We serve a God, not a God of religion, but a God of a relationship. Religion will try to tell you and I constantly that we'll never measure up. While God is in a relationship, is always reminding you of his love and his strength and his power that's available to you. And I don't really care for how the world tries to depict my Savior either, by the way. Let me get on a soapbox just for a quick minute. I'll get off of it, I promise. but just painting him as some puny savior or that he's hateful. Let me make this very clear. My God is not puny. He's a stud. He's strong. He's powerful, and he's got it going on, and he's alive and well doing miracles and still moving in the hearts and lives of millions of people, still in 2018. That's why the Bible's still the number one bestseller, and it's always going to remain that way. But he's a God that is not hateful. He's a God that is not judgmental. He's a God that is not looking for our next mess up. He's a God that loves us. He's a God that's always pursuing you. He's a God that's full of grace. He's a God that's full of power. Shall I go on? He's a God full of healing. He's a God full of restoration. He's a God that understands every single thing that we go through. Our weaknesses actually attract his power because he makes himself available in the midst of our mess ups to come to us and encourage us by saying, come boldly to me. You don't have to be afraid of me. You don't have to fear not, because you know what I got available? Grace, strength, help for your mess ups and your screw ups. I'm thankful. Are you thankful for that this morning? Thankful for it. Amen. And then in Hebrews 2, he just kind of makes it a little bit more plain for us. And it says it was necessary for Jesus to be like us. Get that. He gets it. He gets us. The next time a thought enters your brain, well, I don't think he gets it. No, he gets it. Oh, yeah, he came to earth fully God, yet fully man. And he did that, and he went through, and that's why he can sympathize. He understands, and it says it was necessary for him to be like us, his brothers, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God, a priest who would be both merciful to us and faithful to God in dealing with the sins of the people. For since he himself has now been through suffering and temptation, he knows what it's like when we suffer and are tempted, and he is wonderfully, everybody say wonderfully, able to help us. So he knows, man, we're sinful and we're going to mess up. And he says, but in the midst of those things, and when you do mess up, just keep coming to me. Just keep coming to me. We're gonna figure this out, but just keep moving towards me. And you're going to see, and I'm going to show you this here in just a minute, the power of what is available in the midst of your weakness. We're going to see that here in just a minute. But here's what I want you to think about. What are the things, or man, what, maybe it's even some of the issues that are in our life that are holding us back in this place of our yesterdays. And here's what I've learned. And there was a moment, it was years of my life, many years ago, that I was in a dark prison to pornography for much of my younger life. And it messed me up. And I'll never forget how ashamed I was. I'll never forget how messed up I thought I was. And I started believing what the enemy was telling me. And then the other thing the enemy did a really good job was also convincing me that if I told somebody, it'll ruin me, people will look at me different, and I'll never get through this, I'll never get over this. And a small lesson I learned, and I'm going to have it on the screen, this is something I learned in that season, that resolve alone cannot change what routine created. Resolve alone cannot change what routine creates. Here's what that means. You don't have enough strength, and you don't have enough power. I don't care what your experience is, sir, ma'am. With all due respect, guess what? You and I need a God that is full of power and full of mercy to step into our situations and break the back of the enemy and to break the chains that bind us. Because I'm telling you, the only one that could set me free from the prison that I was in was God himself. And then God opening finally my heart to trust him and to trust some people in my life who would walk with me so I could receive the healing and the restoration that I needed for my life. But the lie of the enemy is to whisper and say, no, you're good. You're good. Or here's one. This is one of my favorites. Say, no, I got this. You ever heard that one? Man, I'm good. I got this. It's not, or another one, and I've said this, that's not that serious. We're only as sick as our secrets. And whatever we can't talk about in public is already out of control in our life. That's why we need a Savior. We need saving. I don't know about you, but every day of my life, I'm not that good. I need saving from myself, saving amongst other things. And 2 Corinthians says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you because my power, check it out, is made perfect in weakness. And for when I am weak, then I am strong. It's not about you and I having to do more. It's about you and I receiving more, because it's about what Jesus has already accomplished. You don't have to earn nothing. It's already been paid on that cross. When he died and resurrected, it's a done deal, baby. All you and I got to do is believe and receive the free gift of salvation for our life and walk this thing out. Now, here's the deal. One of the things the enemy will always try to fight in your life is relationships. He will relentlessly attack relationships in your life. Why? Because it's part of God's equation in reaching the world today. We can't do this alone. We're better when we're together. That's why none of us are made to do life alone. Can I hear a good amen? It's so important. And so we all are going to mess things up, though. I mess things up all the time. Anybody else mess things up? I messed some things up this week. Anybody else did? Yeah. And here's the deal. I know that I don't have the perfect marriage. I'm messing up my marriage all the time. I don't have the perfect kids. Lord knows. And so I'm messing up my kids all the time. But here's what I know. Here's what I know. That if I keep running back to Jesus, though, that he will turn those weaknesses into strengths in Jesus' name. But the key is running back to him, not my intellect, not what I know, because I'm not that smart. Hey, listen, if God was just reduced to the size of my brain, then he's not a God worth serving. But see, he's a God that's bigger than our brain. Therefore, he's a God worth serving. He knows exactly what he's doing. Last time I checked, when you look outside, you see the skies and the galaxies and the stars. He's done a pretty good job with what he's done. Amen, everybody? Here's the other thing I know that can be a struggle is our unbelief. Incredible moment here. A father is coming to Jesus because his son was mute and wanted help and healing. And he asked Jesus, he said, if you can do anything... Interesting question when you come to Jesus. But he said, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And I love Jesus' response. Now, when I was reading this, I told the other services this too. I said, I almost kind of felt like, I was like, Jesus, you seemed a little sarcastic in your response here. And I think could have happened because we know he's got a personality because he created you and me. Somebody say amen to that, all right? And so there he was, and he responds back, like, what do you mean if I can? Say what? You know, like, what's up? What do you mean if I can? All things are possible for one who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe. Help my unbelief. This is a struggle for some. The story goes on. Jesus heals the boy. But there was a struggle within the heart of the father. And this is a struggle for some of us, but I want to just put this just kind of the rest for you today. And I want you to hear what I'm getting ready to say. Man, we just dreamed of a church where even if, man, you don't know God, you say, man, Kyle, I'm just trying to figure things out. We just want you to know, man, this is a church where you can just come and work it out and figure it out and ask questions and just know, man, it's cool. And that's our heart here. And here was this man, and I thought it was so cool to watch Jesus and his ministry ministering back to this man. And then in 2 Timothy, it says that even when we are too weak to have any faith, how many have ever been there? Been in a place where it's like, man, my faith is weak. It's not strong. I've been there too. But it says in the midst of that, he remains faithful to us and will help us. Isn't that the heart of a father that says, man, I know you're struggling right now, but instead of going away from you, I'm drawing close to you, and I'm going to be faithful to you still. And we're going to get through this, not alone, but together. And that's the heart of our Father, our Heavenly Father. Amen? And here's another one that I think that can hold us back, and that's just our brokenness. You know, I've been in ministry for a little bit now, and if there's anything that I feel like I've seen, and one of the greatest honors that we have and with our small groups and our ministries is helping people that are broken. Because we've all been there and we're all in some ways, man, on this journey and working things out because we all have issues in our life. We just got to get honest with them. And for some of us, it's our pain. For some of us, it's a relationship. For some of us, it may look different. It may just be, for some of us, it could be church. Maybe even church hurt you at one time. I don't know. But we're broken. And it's hard for us to trust again. It's hard for us to believe again. And all these things have just come to this place, and here I am, broken. It was interesting here in Mark chapter 6, there was a moment, just give you a little context, that there was 5,000 people that were listening to Jesus one day. And it was at the end of the day, and they didn't have any food, just had some fish and some bread. The disciples are worried about it. Jesus takes what they have. They multiplied it, does an amazing miracle, feeds 5,000 people. But it's the disciples who are in a teaching moment with God. And it says this, and when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is late now, is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside, the people and villages, and buy themselves something to eat." And here's what I felt like the Lord put on my heart for this, is some of us are broken and have found ourselves in a very desolate place. And what's desolate mean? It literally means to be by yourself. Nobody's around. And for some, it's just like we've been carrying this weight. And we've been walking around for so long by ourselves. And here on this Easter Sunday morning, I want you to hear the Lord, that God says, you're not in this by yourself, nor do you have to carry this alone anymore. Listen to me. God does his greatest work in desolate places. God does his greatest work in desolate places. And I want to encourage you, right even here in this moment, to open up your heart. Because sometimes all you and I see is the desolation. But what we're not seeing is the God who's bringing deliverance to us, that it's on the way. And the challenge, I think, for many of us is we get so enamored with our mess that we forget to see the majesty that's in front of us. And he's here, and he's present, and he's available in your life. The disciples, all they were seeing was the problem. If you and I know we've been in situations in our life, it's just like, man, all I'm seeing is the problem. All I'm seeing is the mess. But what Jesus is always seeing is the opportunity, is the way out, is the miracle that's already in motion for your life, whether you know it or not, that it's coming and God is going to make a way. They brought, what the disciples did right was they brought the problem to the answer. And what I'm encouraging you in here today is bring whatever problem you have. It's not too great for God. Bring your problem to the answer. Are you with me today, church? I'll MA myself if I got to up here. I'll tell you that. And so I want to encourage you, though, that sometimes we don't see the answers in our lives because we don't realize the power that God has to do the miraculous and to do the amazing. But I'm telling you, you can trust God. And here's the other thing I'm going to tell you. Don't just take my word for it. I'm going to show you a video here of some people right here that have sat where you've sat, that have been in a place where God is telling their story, where they were in a place of brokenness, and now God is moving in their lives in a powerful way. Check this out.
4 years ago, I was selling marijuana, living a radical life, partying and drinking and just doing whatever I wanted every single day of my life. I was building this oiler, and it had a chemical in it to make the nylon stick to some rubber. And it actually got in my lungs and burned a hole in my lung. And it put me in the hospital and about killed me.
I'm considered what you would call the unchurched. I always considered myself to be a good person, but although you're a good person, I was missing God. My husband was incarcerated, so he was no longer around. My stepson, who I've been with since he was 3, he ended up having to move to North Carolina, and so just my entire family was taken away from me.
What lit the fire for my anger and hatred was, as a kid, my 4 sisters were molested. And my 1 sister came up about it, told. And they were like, "We don't believe you." Ever since then, I walked around angry. I hated everyone.
Honestly, I decided to make a change when I was sobbing on that bathroom floor, and life as I knew it was different, and I just didn't want to end up back in that same position.
It was hard believing in something that I knew that was so real and loving someone who didn't have that same belief. It was really hard. But the big change that I seen in him was when I decided to let go and focus on me and my journey, and I just prayed a lot.
And maybe my 2nd week out of the hospital, my brother says, "Man, you need to start coming to church with me." And then Easter came, and he said, "You need to be here this Easter." And that Easter Sunday, they had a video, and the premise of the video was while we were still sinners, God gave his son for us. I found myself thinking at the end of the video, like, wow, I'm that sinner. I don't deserve it, but he still did it for me.
And so the following Sunday, I went to Elevate City Church and I immediately felt like I was at home. The ushers and the greeters, they were amazing. And I could just remember sitting there, and it was a couple. Every Sunday, they either sat behind me or on the side of me. And just that small thing of them saying, I'm so happy you're here. I'm so happy to see you this Sunday. That Sunday, I just gave my life to God. I surrendered everything. And my life has been changed since then. It'll never be the same.
You know, we all hold the key to what traps us.
Yeah.
So we need to reach out to people and give help, but at the same time, give that key to traps that traps us, give that key to God, and let him free us.
Yeah.
I feel full, I'm happy, I'm free. I feel love just from not just God, but just the people at Elevate, just my Elevate family. I couldn't ask for a better family. I mean, my immediate family was taken away, but now here are these people I don't even know, and they love me with no limits. They love me with no strings attached. They love me simply for who I am. And so that's an amazing thing to feel, being a new Christian and being on a new journey with God.
How I found my self-worth was seeing myself through God's eyes and realizing that even when I was the worst sinner, the worst kind of person, that, you know, he didn't see me that way. He didn't see me as too far gone. I used to consider myself as, you go into church and that thing's gonna burn down on you. But, you know, that's exactly where he wants to come into your life, is when you're thinking that. And you are worth something. You're worth a lot more than you could imagine. I mean, even at your greatest, you're worth more. You're worth so much more.
Amen. Come on, let's just put our hands together. Isn't that awesome? So good. I've watched those guys that shared their stories, and all of them who have just jumped in with both feet in their relationship with God, and now are, man, they're on Dream Team serving here on Sunday. They're plugged in small groups, and doing amazing. So proud of those guys and thankful for their stories. And here's what I just want to sum this up with, to say this, that God can handle your brokenness. God can flat out handle your brokenness. Here's the thing that I know. I'm the most difficult person I have to deal with. The same is true for you. Amen? But God can handle us. He can handle our brokenness. And, you know, the world tries to define success a lot of different ways. I think the people who are successful are not the people that strive for perfection. I think the people that are successful are those who make progress. Success is progress, not perfection. And in the heart of God is for us to live again, to take the steps. And some of you, in a few minutes, I just believe you're going to take a step today in your relationship with God, maybe for the very first time. For some, maybe it's just recommitting your heart here in a moment. But I want to read a scripture out of Luke chapter 23. And I began first service, really not with these plans in mind, but it just kind of hit my heart, my spirit. So one of the guys, come on up here and help me. Come on, round three, boys. You ready? All right. And because I really just felt this hit my spirit this morning to really articulate what's being said here. Of all scriptures, man, the Lord just kept drawing me back to this. And when Jesus was on the cross, I want you to imagine with me this morning, all right? So just, I want you to imagine with me. When Jesus was on the cross, he was also hanging next to two criminals. So Cody's going to be, he's representing the criminals, so is Chad, all right? I'll represent Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. But here he was next to two criminals in the midst of him dying. These men also on the cross, dying for the crimes in which they did. And the Bible says this in Luke 23. It says, one of the criminals hanging beside him, all right, that's going to be Cody, scoffed And he said this to Jesus. He said, "So, you're the Messiah. You're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it." I mean, no, just kind of a little smart aleck, you know what I mean? Like just kind of want to slap him, you know what I mean? And so there he is. But the other criminal protested, and he's talking to this criminal, and he said, "Hey, don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die?" He's still talking. "We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man, Jesus, hasn't done anything wrong." And then he said this. I believe it was a moment when they looked at each other. This is what I like to imagine with Scripture when I see this. That there's a moment when he looked at Jesus and he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus, looking back at him, and said, I assure you today, you will be with me in paradise." And you know what, everybody? Jesus has always been about reaching the one. Now, I want you to really, really think about this. He's on the cross dying, yet ministry is still in motion. My God, what a Savior, that even in the midst of this man's last few breaths, he's crying out. And notice Jesus didn't respond, "Well, you're a criminal. You've got all this, but you didn't give one day of me to your life." No, it was one moment that changed his life. It was one moment that changed his eternal destiny, where Jesus said, "Hey, boy, it's all good. You're going to be in paradise with me, and forget about everything else." Notice he didn't bring up the past. He's focusing on today and his eternal home. And I'm just here to declare to you in Jesus' name today, it doesn't matter what you've done. Nothing has you. There is no such thing as too far gone. And I'm just telling you, God is able to rip the chains off of you, but God is able to reach you right where you're at. And I am so thankful today for a loving Savior that even in the midst of his last breath, he never stopped ministering, because that's the forceness and the fierceness of the God that we serve. Come on, somebody. Can you say amen? Thank you, guys. And just something I captured this week in my heart, that in the midst, God kept ministering to the one. And here that man is in eternity. And I believe this is so true, that only when you see Jesus clearly and understand the magnitude of his love will you be able to correctly see yourself. For those of us, we've just gotten lost in things, but I'm just telling you, have a clear picture of your Savior. And I'm so glad for that kind of love, because here's the thing about God. He didn't come to this earth to try to improve you. He's not trying to improve the old you. He's trying to make you new. That's what he wants. That's about new life. That's about life rising again. And so here's the first thing I know. Jot this down. Because of that, and here's how we can live again, is understanding that because of Jesus, I can be forgiven and free. You don't have to hang on to those things any longer. That's why he took the punishment on the cross. That's why he died. That's why blood was poured out, for the forgiveness of our sins, and so that we could be free. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love for us. But check it out. While we were still sinning, he still died. Notice this is not what Jesus did. Jesus didn't say, hey, Romans, hey, everybody, hey, before I do this cross thing, I just want to take a survey. Like, how many are going to believe first? Because this thing's pretty bad. But I just want to make sure you believe first. How many know he didn't do that? But he just took upon himself, recognizing the future and the potential that's in each and every one of us today, and said, you're worth dying for. Kyle Sadler, you're worth dying for. Bethany, you're worth dying for. Hannah, you're worth dying. He was seeing for generations, that he knew once and for all he was going to pay the ultimate price so that you and I didn't have to. But then not just stay in that place, that maybe on that third day, his resurrection power, and that same resurrection power that lifted him up out of that tomb lives in us today. Those that are in a relationship with Jesus, come on, you're alive and well because of that today. That's power. That's strength. That's a Savior worth saving, serving. And here's what I know. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live again. Here's the second thing. Because of Jesus, I can have hope for the future. As that man, the criminal that was on that side of Jesus, demonstrated, heaven and hell are realities. Heaven is a place that was meant for you and me. Hell wasn't. Hell is a place that when people go to, or is a place that people go to because they want to pay for their own sins. Why anybody in the world would want to do that, I don't know. When Jesus paid the ultimate price so you and I didn't have to. So that we can be in eternity at home with him in heaven. Heaven is a place that he's gone to prepare for us. And he says this in Jeremiah 29, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I'm just telling you, man, if you'll give God your attention, he'll always exceed your expectations in your life. He's always been so faithful. Come on up, team. And here's the third and final thing. Because of Jesus, I can have new life. New life. Luke 24, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found that the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, love this, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, for he is risen. Can I put that in 2018 terms for you? Hashtag, he ain't here no more. And that's what that means, because we serve a God, come on church, who's alive and well today. Are you thankful for it? Come on, if you're thankful for it, let's just put our hands together. Let's celebrate. Come on, amen. Thankful for new life. Everybody shout new life. And here's how, what it's all summed up. Here it is. And we're going to pray. Such a great verse, I think, to end on today. In 2 Corinthians 5, here's what it means. That anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. Meaning, I don't want to go back to that stuff. Man, when Jesus has saved me, I want all that Jesus has for me. So ain't got time for it. Why? Because a new life. Everybody shout a new life. Come on, a new life has begun. Here's what I know. We are destined for nothing but hopelessness in our life without Jesus. But we are destined for greatness if Jesus is living on the inside of us. And Jesus conquered death for himself and us. Paid that price so that you can live again. Because death is never final. The next story begins. And God wants you and I to live again. Amen, church. Here's what I want us to do. I just want to ask you for the next 3 minutes or so. Nobody getting up, nobody moving around, just to really honor and respect the people that are next to you. This is a very important moment. And I want you to just grab your connection card, if you would, again, inside your worship guide there. And you'll notice on the front side, there's boxes A, B, C, and D. I'm going to tell you what that means. And so if you'll take that out, and this is really just what I would just kind of call a spiritual survey between you and God. Forget about who's on your right and your left. This is a moment right here in this service between you and the Lord. So let me explain this. If you're here this morning and you'd say, Kyle, man, I'm certain today I'm a follower of Jesus. I have made Jesus the Lord of my life, and I'm in a personal relationship with him. Jesus has already brought me out. Man, if that's you, you say, man, I'm already a believer, would you check A? Check A. But if you're here today and you'd say, Kyle, here's what I know. I need God to rescue me. For some of us today, you know that I'm ready to make a fresh start. You're saying, I need a fresh start with God, a fresh beginning with him. I'm ready to commit my life and believe today. If that's you, you can check B. And if you'd say, Kyle, man, this all sounds good, but I'd like to consider it just a little bit more. And I just want you to know, and I want you to hear in my heart again, that we've always dreamed of having a church that wasn't for church people. I don't think churches are for church people. I think churches should be a place where if you don't believe what we believe, and you don't serve, you don't give, and you just say, hey, man, can I just come and hear and just check this out and figure it out? The answer you're going to get from us is absolutely yes. And so if that's you and you'd say, man, I just want to check it out. I want to consider it. Check C. But if you're here and you say, Kyle, man, I don't ever intend on giving God my life. In fact, I'm just going to live my life my own way and do what I want to do. And I just want to encourage you, if that's you, just to have the guts enough to be honest and to check D. And so what I want to ask just for a few more seconds here is that we just respect those that are around us and just please stay seated and stay quiet. And we'll take just a minute here and give you some time for this. And whenever you're done, if you would just bow your head where you're at, and that'll let me know that you're done. As you just continue to keep your head bowed where you're at, if you check B, I want to pray with you right now. But first, I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to lead you in a prayer. But God, there are people here today who in one way or another are dying, and only you can give them life again. And I thank you today that you bring us out from the bondage of slavery and that you save us. So today, I pray that you will move in their life in a powerful way so that they can know you personally and experience real life. And if you check B today, here's what I want to ask you to do, is just say this prayer with me. All right, say this prayer and just mean it from your heart and just say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me for living my life my own way. Today I invite you to be the Lord of my life. Take control of my life. Make me the kind of person that you want me to be. Give me the power to change. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.